Daniel James Brown is the author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, The Boys in the Boat, a story about American Olympic triumph in Nazi Germany, and now the inspiration for the PBS documentary, Boys of 36. The book tells the improbable, intimate account of how nine working-class boys from the American West showed the world at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin what true grit really meant. Now the Berkshire Sculling Association in Pittsfield is hosting John Bigelow, member of the 1984 Olympic rowing team. John has developed a talk around the Boys in the Boat book, which he'll be presenting at the Duffin Theater in Lenox on Sunday, this Sunday, at 2:30. We spoke with Daniel James Brown recently for the publication of a young reader's edition of The Boys in the Boat and what brought him to this story.
My neighbor brought me to this story. I guess it was about 7 years ago. My neighbor, a lady I knew only as Judy at the time, came to me, and she asked me to come down to her house and meet her dad. Her dad was in his 90s. He was in the last couple months of his life living under hospice care at her house. And he had been reading one of my earlier books and had asked to meet me. So I went down, I think it was the next day, and I met this elderly gentleman named Joe Rance. And Joe was very weak. He was on oxygen, but he was very alert mentally. And I sat down next to him, and he began to talk about his experiences. First, his experiences growing up during the Depression, and he had a very touching story to tell about that that became part of the book. But then he began to talk about how he came to row on the crew at the University of Washington starting in the fall of 1933 and how he had been transformed by that experience and how he and his crewmates had wound up rowing for an Olympic gold medal in Berlin in 1936 against a German boat in front of Adolf Hitler. And as he was telling me this story, my jaw just dropped. It was such an astonishing story. So it all really started with that first conversation with Joe Rance.
When you started to explore and you started to look into the story about these nine Americans, how available was the information? What were the challenges in finding the true depths of the story?
Well, the story had been buried for 75 years, so it took a lot of digging. One of the things I did was I immediately set out to contact the families of all nine of these guys. And when they found out what I was up to, they were very excited. So they came to me with boxes of letters and diaries and news clippings and old photographs and sat with me for, gosh, probably hundreds of hours of interviews. And so it really, I started with getting their stories about their fathers or their grandfathers, as the case might be. And then, oh boy, just lots of library research, lots of sitting hunched over microfilm machines, reading old newspaper articles from the mid-1930s. So it was about 4 years of research.
How much did you have to familiarize yourself with this world of rowing?
Yeah, you know, I knew nothing about rowing, and the day after I met Joe, that was that sort of occurred to me suddenly, and it was a real concern I had because it's a fairly technical sport and it's a very difficult sport to physically and mentally. So I immediately set out also to contact rowers, and fortunately, the people at the current University of Washington Shell House were interested in what I was doing, and so they put me in contact with lots of rowers, including Olympic caliber rowers. And I spent a lot of time talking to them, going out on the launch with the boats and learning the technical stuff. And also, more importantly, learning the experiential part of it, what it feels like to row in rough weather, what it feels like to row in a high stakes race and so on and so forth. So I had a lot of help from a lot of people over that 4 year period.
Why was it so important, especially at that time in 1936, for this team to win?
You know, these guys in a lot of ways were kind of symbolic of American democracy and American virtues. These guys were a rough and tumble bunch of kids out of the West, all of them from Western Washington State. In fact, they were mostly farm kids and logging camp kids. And And they wound up having to go up against their very good rivals at Cal Berkeley, and then very good rowers at the elite schools in the East, and then the kids from Oxford and Cambridge, kids who were aristocrats in many cases, and then finally against this Nazi crew in Germany. And so that race at the end, that gold medal race, is really a confrontation on a symbolic level between American values and the values of what was then the emerging Nazi state. And I think that's part of what gives the story its huge emotional resonance.
With that resonance, I mean, this partially answers the question I'm about to ask, but what do you think it is about this story and your beautiful telling of it that has struck such a chord with readers?
I think it's that mostly. I mean, I think people can identify with these young men. It turned out that they were all a wonderful bunch of guys. You know, that first day I met Joe, I was kind of taking a leap of faith when I committed to writing the book, because for all I knew, it could have been Joe and eight jerks in a boat. But it turned out to be Joe and eight really great other guys. And they're all people that, as you get to know them in the course of reading the book, you can identify with. They are kids like kids you grew up with in many ways. So being able to identify with them, understanding their fears, understanding the obstacles they had to overcome, it's pretty natural to find yourself rooting for them and caring about their ultimate success, I think.
At what point did you start to consider that an edition for young readers was a good idea?
Well, you know, when I first started, the book came out 2 years ago, and when I was going around the country giving talks about the book, initially most of my audiences were older. And then in the last year or so, I started noticing more and more young people showing up and coming up to have their book signed. And so I started asking them, you know, why they were interested in the story. And as they told me, they talked about how it related to their efforts to be on the school debate team or the football team or some other effort that they wanted to join with others in. And other virtues and traits they found in these characters that they identified with. So it began to occur to me and to the publisher that really it would be nice to have a version kids a little younger could read. I also got a lot of email, and still get a lot of email, from parents and grandparents saying they wish they had a version of the book that their 10-year-old could read. So it began to seem like a natural thing to do.
I've heard you mentioned in circles of bringing the sport back to the forefront, that people who had never heard of it or that had a very, as you mentioned, and I would certainly put myself in that category, that were not overly aware of rowing and its power and its importance, that you've put that back on the map.
Well, I don't know how much credit I can claim for that, but I know anecdotally it is true that I hear about overflowing learn-to-row programs these days. A lot of rowing in this country is done at the collegiate level, of course, but a great deal more, really, is done at local rowing clubs. And people from their teenage years all the way through their 90s row at these rowing clubs all over the country, even in places like Kansas and Arizona. You wouldn't think they could find water to row in, but they do. And they all have learn to row classes that are sort of the way into the club. And I understand that, as I say, it's just anecdotal, but I understand that those classes have just been overflowing since the book came out. So that's very gratifying. It's a neat sport, and it's a very wholesome thing, and people get a lot of satisfaction out of it. So if I have contributed to a resurgence, then that's great.
Since it's in our listening area, you write about Poughkeepsie in the book.
Yes. Poughkeepsie was the site of the national championship, collegiate championship race every year during the 30s. And so it's a crucial part of the story. These guys from Washington State went back east to row at Poughkeepsie as freshmen, as sophomores, and then as seniors, as varsity rowers. And that was really sort of the launching pad for them to get to the Olympic trials and to Berlin. And Poughkeepsie in those days, it was a huge thing it's hard to get your mind around these days, but 80, 90, 100,000 people would turn out at Poughkeepsie for these national races, and the races were covered live coast to coast on radio, which was then a new medium, and the town had a huge festival, and it was quite a production.
Daniel James Brown's book is The Boys in the Boat. A reminder, the Berkshire Sculling Association in Pittsfield is hosting John Bigelow. Member of the 1984 Olympic rowing team, John has developed a talk around the Boys in the Boat book, which he'll be presenting at the Duffin Theater in Lenox this Sunday, June 26th, this Sunday at 2:30. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.